All right, Tizia, good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. Of course, this is the time we look at the unpredictables. We look at the unpredictables, what is taking place in the world. And how much of impact does it have on, of course, you and me? But today we are just going to talk about it for fun. Just, you know, just to have some fun. Because these topics, you know, have been manifesting themselves throughout, you know, for days and for months, for years. So it seems that the game of chess, there are only three players that are playing domino. I mean, there are only three players and everybody else is a domino. You know, when it comes to the world leaders, Zelensky is one of the pieces. In fact, he's one of the pieces of dominoes that are being played between Russia and America. It seems that there is drama everywhere. It seems that there is drama everywhere. There is drama in Latin America, of course, in about to unfold between the United States and Venezuela. And there is also drama there in Tanzania. Of course, the motherboard of the, you know, the motherboard of Namibian liberation struggle, because that's where people were trained, in Tanganyika. You know, we talk about the Tanganyika group. Yeah. Those are the first people, you know, when it comes to the liberation struggle. So Tanganyika is the mother of SWAPO, because that's where SWAPO military wing was mostly developed in Africa. So Tanganyika is a mother of SWAPO. Now, opposition leaders were arrested. Most of the major competitors that have capacity, that have potential to win the election in Tanzania, have been arrested. So that, you know, Samia Suluhu can take the second chance, making it easier. In Cameroon, we have Paul Biya at 92 that has taken the eighth term. It's the eighth term. It's been ruling for 43 years. So he has been ruling for 43 years, since 1982. He's the one that is longest in the whole world, that has ruled in the whole world. I think now he's going to rule up to 2033 there. So, and there are unrests and riots in Cameroon that led to four people deceased, according to the reports of Thursday. We don't know now whether the number has increased. So, In Tanzania as well, chaos also between Chama, the supporters of the opposition supporters opposing the win of Chama Cha Mapinduzi. And there were 20 people injured, according to reports. And the roads were closed. Including the main road that leads to the main airport, according to the U.S. Embassy. So it is, those are dramas that we are facing. Drama everywhere, karatagoma everywhere, political karatagoma everywhere. And not even to talk about United States and its own tariffs and sanctions that are biting, of course, the other side, and also are biting on both sides, because they have raised inflation in Western countries. So those are the things we are going to be looking at, and we also look at what people are saying in South Africa. You know, South Africa, their majority are thinking differently, and we are coming back to talk about it. What is it that they are thinking? They are now thinking differently. And majority in South Africa are saying it is better to be under the rule of the military, like to be under the military junta, than to be under democratic rule.
I can't wait to fly. I feel that I'm alive.
All right, we continue. So the political breakdown that is going on in most countries, not even to talk about the Congo DRC, because that one we no longer know whether Congo is coming or going. Things are messed up there, you know, completely out of order. We don't know whether Congo is going or coming. And Madagascar, of course, there are new, the military has taken over. So like I said, before we went for a musical break there, I was saying that according to Afrobarometer, 7 in 10 South African, according to the survey that they just took, they conducted recently, 7 in 10 South Africans believe that it is better to be ruled, you know, to be ruled by the junta, by the military junta, than to be under a democratic government. And this most of them say because the democratic government have failed. The democratic government has failed most South Africans. And they feel like maybe it is better to be under a military, you know, rule. Maybe things will improve. They are saying maybe things will improve under juntas. And most of them, Captain Traore of Burkina Faso. And there have been a lot of, you know, propagation about Traore. And has been so much, has inspired so much, so many people in Africa, especially the young generation. You know, he has emboldened so much young people in Africa. And even in Namibia here, you hear people talking about Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso has done it. And sometimes the things they are talking about are not even true. But they are talking about these things anyway. That Burkina Faso has achieved it. In Burkina Faso now everybody has a job. I always hear young people talking about that and I always say, huh? In Burkina Faso everybody has a job. Just like, you know, some people are talking about Rwanda. In Rwanda, everything is just, you know, in Rwanda everything is, in Rwanda there is no unemployment. And they were talking about Zambia the same. But the Zambians, if you go to Katima, the story is different. But people here talk about Zambia as if Zambia is achieved better than Namibia. But if you go to Katima, the story is different. And if Katima borders close down for a week, Zambians, most of them will suffer. Big time. Just like if you close the Oshikango area, you know, if you close the Oshikango area, Angola will suffer. So, Angola will suffer big time. So, to say Zambia is better, in Zambia things are better than the way they are in Namibia, I don't know what you are talking about. You know, I don't know what you are talking about. Even Botswana, that is, that is at least having a strong currency. They are not better than Namibia. Nope. Namibia is one of those countries that are better in SADC. You know, even when it comes to infrastructure development, you know, our financial technology in terms of how we use it. In fact, the transactions in Namibia is better, far way better, you know, than most of the countries. You know? But you hear people making comments on radio that are not, you know, based on any statistics. They just hear things, Burkina Faso, and then they complain. No, we must do what Burkina Faso is doing. To a certain extent, yes, Burkina Faso has really made it because they have ousted a government that was, you know, responsible for their misery, because most of the miserable situation that we are going through in Africa, the perpetrators are the leaders, the immediate leaders that are on power or that are in power, because most of them owe Europe something. So South Africans feel that it is better to be under juntas than to be under democratic government. Like to be led by a military person than to be led by a democratic or a politician. Because in South Africa, you know, 7 in 10 people have lost. They've lost trust in the politicians. Because they talk about unemployment, they're talking about crime, they're talking about water, talking about infrastructure, you know, and talking about healthcare, all that are issues that are, you know, pending. And unemployment is very important. That's where that's the one that really needs the government intervention, according to Afrobarometer. So, and they feel that maybe when military juntas take over, they will come and solve some of these issues. You know, maybe some of the issues will be solved. Well, maybe we will live longer enough to witness that if it changes in South Africa. If somebody takes power by force, who is going to be that? And South Africa is rocked by two situations. There are people that want a republic within South Africa, like it's called the Republic of Orania, that is exclusively Afrikaner people only. Exclusively Afrikaner whites. I'm not sure whether that is going to be possible without creating a civil war. I'm not sure whether that is going to be possible. And if a civil war should, you know, occur between two parties, South Africa only hosts 3 million Boers, That's 3 million Afrikaner people. Maybe over 40 million or 50 million blacks. So that becomes, the ratio is too high. The ratio is too high. But maybe it will be amicably solved, which is unlikely given the nature of South Africa. Because any small thing can spark the fire. And fire can rage for days. In fact, this year, the xenophobic Dudula has come down a little bit, unlike those years. So, but that's the situation in South Africa. They want to go the Burkina Faso way of getting the juntas to rule at least, so that they see the difference. And according to Afrobarometer, the people that once defended democracy as a good model of governance, that number has shrunk in 25 years. So that number has shrunk. So most people no longer think that democracy is a good model of governance. Most people never feel that. No longer feel that way. Sorry. They feel that being under military power, under military rule, is a way to go to at least speed up change.
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Winner, I'm
Yes, we continue. So that is a thinking, that's a feeling in South Africa. And now, whether this feeling is right or not right, nobody can tell at this moment. And in fact, the other, you know, a lot of analysts are saying, no, this is just because it is internal. They are drawing examples from Sankara, and from also Traore. They are drawing examples from there. And some are even saying, no, it is dangerous to have a government that is run by the military. It's dangerous because that is no longer a civilian government. Or civilian rule. That's military rule. But some arguing, no, because the military might do one or two things to improve the livelihood of the masses. They might do what politicians are not able to do. Because apparently, politicians, all they do is just talk. No action. You know, you come around the politician dead, you go back home more dead, no life. That's what other people feel. They feel that politicians just talk and they don't do anything. What do you think? Which one is better? Is it military rule or democratic rule? So if you're around, you can also come through and give your views before we go on to the next, to our next item. Do you think that military rule will do better, will do justice to pending developmental issues, or will it not just come and do the worst? You know, and in fact, you don't have... Because with military rule, you don't have a right of expression. Because the military will not allow you to be will not allow so much freedom. Military will come and limit certain freedoms. And so military rules are not friendly to freedom. So though in this world, I don't think there is a really democratic democracy. I think what we have autocratic democracy. Because they will tell you that you are free to say what you want, you are free to do what you want, but they still hunt you down. You know, they are still looking for you. They're still tracking you. And then that means that you are not free. But other countries, in democratic autocracies. So there are autocratic democracies and the autocratic and the democratic autocracies. In countries like Russia, China, Iran, where you are told they are autocratics, they will tell you, this is what we expect from you. You know, if you do this, we will do this to you. If you do that, this is what we are going to do to you. So you know the boundaries. That those are democratic autocracies. But in autocratic democracies, they tell you are free. It's freedom. And then they do to you the unexpectable. You know, the unexpected. And then because they tell you are free, but the moment you start to express your freedom, they do to you what you deserve. And which they did not tell you that if you do this, they are going to do it to you. So which military rule do they really want? Do you want a democratic autocracy or an autocratic democracy? Which one? Is it a democratic autocracy or autocratic democracy? What form of government do you want? Do you want an autocratic democracy or democratic autocracy? And so you think about that. So I think Tanzania is one of those countries. Yes.
Morning, Frank.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Yes.
So the reggae in gospel. So usually we never knew that gospel, one can also play reggae music in gospel. Or were you inspired by those people that you were telling us the other day? Or?
Which people are we? But that's not gospel.
I mean, but yeah, I know that there are some words that you talked about in your music. Yeah, you know, glorifying God with that tune melody in the God, in the it's reggae kind of rhythm or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So it was very, very inspiring because people used to say, no, you cannot play reggae in kind of the gospel kind of reggae. I don't know how we connect it now.
But, yeah, because people are they don't know. Gospel is not the rhythm of the music. Gospel is a word that is in the music.
Yes, but now for you to tune it there in that manner, so it's really inspiring. So now the trouble in Africa and all over the world now, I think is a serious concern. But then I don't know because. delimitation. Even if the military rule, so they also have some limitations. So the freedom of speech, the freedom of words, they are also just relaxed many a time, just like in a democratic state, where the country is ruled by true democracy. So, but then in every situation, you just need to understand and be aware of your rights and freedom, and also the limitation to those that rights and freedom. So if, for example, in the military rules say, no, you don't do this as accorded in the, maybe the constitution. And if you go beyond that or transgress against that, then you have a problem. The same applies to democratic rule. So if you don't exercise your limitation in a way that it does not impinge on other people's rights, then obviously you are fine. But the moment you exercise that in any situation that impinge or endanger the life of the people, oh, then obviously the law will catch you. So, but then the situation in Tanzania and anywhere else is fine. I mean, it's not fine at all. Because, number one, I don't know why the people were banned to compete. Maybe, honestly speaking, I don't know what type of situation is that. But it's not, now that it has led to that rioting and all those barriers and things like that. I don't know, maybe if you could maybe the people could have competed, it might not have been so worse like this, even though many a times the opposition, when they get defeated, so they also turn into that chaotic situation. But to predict that thing, just allow the people to compete, and if they somehow, if there's no win-win situation, and then you always have a way of balancing power in terms of governance. But this situation now, I think people are dying, property are being rooted. I don't think that is a present situation. So in the military governance, you can only take over perhaps when you see that the situation is really becoming worse. Then you can also then perhaps take over to stabilize the environment and the situation so that people don't just die. But then just a transition kind of period to make sure that the situation is stabilized. I think that's the only difference. But I prefer that democracy should just be exercised, should be enjoyed. Human rights and freedom should be enjoyed by each and everyone, irrespective of the rule that you're talking about. So whether it's the military has taken over, or democratic election has taken over, the rights and freedom of the citizens should just be enjoyed. So that's my take in France.
Thank you very much, Uncle Bana.
Welcome, sir.
Yes.
Good.
Okwe. You see, you cannot allow people to compete when you know maybe you will fail. So for you to prevent failing, because you want to come to power, you want to continue, you will have to arrest them and bar them from competing, because those are major opposition, and they've potential, you know, to win. The potential to win. So, when they have potential to win, you'll be afraid. And that's why you will prepare a situation where, you know, you bar them from running. That's the situation of Africa. Yeah, but do you think military rule is better than the civilian rule? To be under the juntas, between being under the juntas and being under politicians, which one will you choose? You know, being under juntas and being under politicians, which one do you choose? But you know, in most cases we want to, you know, to talk about politicians and we label them as liars, you know, as people who lie. And they never tell the truth. They just lie all the time. They will lie to you. We are going to do this and it's not done. So we say that politicians are liars. Okay, before we go on, 083-288-401, that's the number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation, is 8 in the morning, 8:03 in the morning, and we continue till 9 o'clock. So people say politicians are liars because they lie a lot. They talk about things they don't fulfill. We have never seen our counselor since we started. And the other time I heard in SABC, they were saying, Siamfu na lo counselor. Lo counselor una manga. Yeah, lo counselor ukamba manga songi skati. And they're saying, this counselor is a liar. All the time he speaks, all the time and everything that he says are just lies. So we want to meet that counselor. Yes, I'm funeral counselor. So it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Where you elect the counselor and after being elected, the counselor disappears. He hibernates like a tortoise. He's only coming out when it is time for elections. Like now, it's time for elections. Eh? All those that hibernated will now come forth. In fact, there are political parties that after the elections, they hibernate, like the toys. So, they hibernate like turtles just to appear during the elections and continue, you know, talking. You know, they come up with a concoction of vocabulary. So, but It's not, you know, all the time that politicians lie. Sometimes I feel like, okay, to a certain extent, I feel that politicians are working. You know, to a certain extent, politicians are working. I feel that way. But the problem is that the problem is the technocrats in the offices. The technocrats in the offices are the ones that are failing, you know, everyone. Because those guys are non-elected officials. They are non-elected office bearers. So they came from universities and then they applied, they got the job through human resource. You know, through HR, through interviews, they were not appointed. Those are the dangerous, very dangerous people in government because they have no one to account to. they have no one to be accountable to. A politician is accountable to an appointing authority. But a technocrat is accountable to no one. You know, because between supervisors, there is a gentleman agreement. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Otherwise, I know what you did in Okuliangava yesterday. So if you become reckless, I will spill the beans. So that becomes toxic because no one wants to keep anyone on their toes. No one wants to hold the other accountable because look, you only know how to talk to me. You don't know how to talk to whoever. So, but then that's where what happened, you know, last Sunday, it comes in now. Because over the years, we have people saying ministers are untouchable. You know, they behave the way they want, they do things the way they feel like doing, and then no one, the president is not even saying anything. The president is not saying anything. You know, when the president is not firing ministers, we complain. When the president fires ministers, we say it's autocratic. So, also, human beings, we can never be satisfied. No one can always satisfy us. But, the firing of the deputy prime minister to me was dramatic. Not dramatic, but amazing. You know, because for the first time in Namibia, somebody of that high caliber is fired. We have never heard about one of the top four. You know, fired. It never happened in Namibia. But it happens with the presidency of NNN. And, well, this is to show to all officials that no one is immune. You know, no one can do things with impunity. I think that's at least one sign to proper, you know, governance where people should be responsible and be accountable. And in fact, this October has been a month of reckoning to some. Some officials in government and, you know, parastatal, because three CEOs were dismissed. Four CEOs were dismissed. The first CEO, Namdia, second one is the one of Namco. The third one is the Central Procurement Board, who was dismissed this week. I think it was on Thursday. In the same week, the Katima Mulilo CEO was also dismissed. And in fact, suspended without pay. And, in the two cases of the Central Procurement Board, they are talking about the Katimamri Town Council and the, you know, town CEO, and the CEO of the Central Procurement Board were all fired pending, pending investigation. They were all fired pending investigations. And the one of NAMCO, I believe, is Richwell Lukonga. He was dismissed by Minister Isete. And there are allegations that this is due to personal interest, you know, where the minister abused his power, you know, to the point that, according to the news, the NAMCO board appeared, you know, before cabinet to prove before cabinet that the minister is misusing his power and is interfering in the operations of the board unnecessarily. And according to reports, some members of cabinet took side with the board, you know, to confirm that, you know, the minister is in the wrong. So at the same time, the minister also encroached at NAMPOWER. So those are the stories that at NAMPOWER he wanted somebody of his own, you know, choice to take over. And he wanted to, he halted the...
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Morning, bride or groom.
Groom.
This way.
Morning, bride.
Morning,
bride.
Morning, bride.
She's a better catch. But if you make an ugly woman your wife, you'll be
happy for the rest of your life. An ugly woman looks built on time. She'll always give you that peace of mind.
If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Give me some
if you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
You
so if you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Consolation when your man had let you down, like a fool fell in love with you, turned my whole world upside down.
Layla, got me on my knees, Layla. darling, please, yeah. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind?
Make the best of this situation, or I'll finally go insane. Please don't say
never find a way.
Tell me all my love's in vain.
Got me on my knees, Layla. Begging, darling, please, Layla. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind? Layla. Got me on my knees, Layla. Begging, darling, please, Layla. Won't you ease my worried
coming here for 40 years before some of you were born and it's the best place I've ever played. It's the best place in the world. Thank you for everything.
So now, according to some news, you know, the minister abused power. Now, if a minister under civil government, you know, under a civilian government, you know, can abuse power, how much more in a military junta, you know, government? How much power can be abused? How much of power can be abused or is likely to be abused? So if power can be abused by ministers, where ministers can push their own agenda, because like the minister in question in Namibia, the deputy prime minister, of course this is public news. I'm not making up anything. It is in the newspapers. They are allegations. I will call them allegations because the minister did not have time to respond. And also, the presidency did not come exclusively to shed more light as to why the minister was relieved of his duties. In fact, the presidency is more careful with the words here. They are saying the minister relieved of his duty. That's a softer way of saying fired. But some newspapers are putting it out plainly that the minister was fired. The presidency is talking about being relieved of duties. The same when we saw the former minister of agriculture was relieved of his duties. But it's a dismissal. You know, it's a firing. It's a sacking. The minister was sacked. And, but the softer word is relieved of his duties. And the presidency did not go further than that. So of course, the people started speculating until we got where we are, that it was found out that some of the things that might have led to the sacking was the abuse of power and also doing things without prior, you know, authorization from the state, from the appointing power. So, if ministers could abuse power in a civil government setting or setup, how much more of power can, you know, be abused in a military rule, which South Africa is looking for. South Africa is looking for, you know, that according to the feelings, this is a feeling of ordinary people on the ground, ordinary citizens on the ground. It's not coming from Julius Malema. It's not coming from Zuma. It's not coming from, but it is coming from an ordinary person on the ground that feels that they've been failed, that feels that the politicians have failed them. And they think that maybe having a military government in place will make a difference. So, and that is a feeling. And we are comparing it. And I already said that sometimes politicians work. So sometimes politicians work. The people that should also be accountable, the people that should be held accountable are technocrats, the implementers, because the politicians are more into planning. They have plans. They come up with a plan. They draw up a plan and say, this is what we want to achieve. This is how we want to achieve it. And this is when we want to achieve it. And this is where we want to achieve it. And this is whom we want to achieve it for. And this is why we want to achieve it. Now, having put all those things in plan, it needs then implementers to come in. And implementers are the technocrats, those people that are in offices, are the ones that fail government in most cases, because they do things at their pace. They have no deadline because they don't have a limit. They are in the office until they are 60. They don't really care about deadlines. They are in the office until they are 60. So a politician has a deadline. He knows that after 5 years, he might not come back. So politicians are easy to be held accountable than technocrats. Because unless the president comes up with a different way of holding, you know, technocrats accountable, you know, because from, okay, the minister can fire the ED, but the minister will not fire the minister will not fire an official at HR. A minister will not fire somebody in the office within those corridors, those people that are implementers, because, you know, you call somebody and they tell you, I'm on leave. While we are saying no, they cut the phone. Same WhatsApp group with some ministers. You call them, the answer they will give you is a powerful answer. So, but all in all, we say politicians are very easy to be held accountable compared to, you know, technocrats. You know, the chief operation officer, chief what officers, chief control officers, those names. Those guys are very difficult to deal with because they have no deadline. And in most cases, they are pushed by nothing. Unless you find somebody who really is doing work, you know, by nature, maybe that is his nature of doing his work, he's just upbeat, that's when you see the difference. Like a certain PROs, I was one day part of the panel that was selecting, you know, public relations officers. I think for 2020, was it 2022? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was 2022. But then we came to the point where some, you know, PROs are not known. Nobody knows them. Nobody hears from them, but there were few very active, you know, PROs that got awards. There were few of them. A lot, even town, you know, town PROs. In fact, the town council, the PROs of the town councils, most of them are, I can use this word, useless. Because, not because they are not working, it's because they are mostly overshadowed by chief regional officers. Chief regional officers are the ones that want to shine in most cases. And then they overshadow the public relation officers. So this year is a dramatic year in Namibia. And if you are not strong, you will be relieved of your duty. Some people are already gone. The entire town council of Katima is gone, including the CEO. And I remember the CEO saying they are not going to follow what the minister is saying. And the council also, the councillors also saying they are not going to follow the directive from the minister. Okay? So it, we started, when I heard that, it was in July somewhere, when they were given till July to sort themselves out and organize themselves. When I heard that statement, I started counting. I went back to my time and I put a stopwatch. I started doing the countdown. Tick, 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 tick. It was ticking. And somewhere around August, September, it was a major explosion, a big bang. We woke up to a big bang where we heard that the entire councillors were sent home, including opposition parties. And the opposition parties started to cry victims. They started to cry victim one by one, from IPC, which is the main one, to the youngest one. They started crying, you know, victim. You were not supposed to fire the entire council. You were just supposed to fire the SWAPO council. When we cut down the tree, it falls with all its fruits. So, when a tree is cut down and it was having fruit, even the fruit will fall. That's what happens. So, you see, the problem with opposition parties is this. Your failure to come out in the open and say, look, because you are supposed to be the ones to come out and say, Katima Town Council, we are going through this problem because of SWAPO councillors. They are the one that are dragging this whole thing down. You are supposed to even report the vehicles that were exchanged, land that was exchanged with motorbikes. Oh, that was a defiant drama. You people don't know drama. This one was a drama of the year. You know? This one was a drama of the year. It was defiant. Exchanging land with motorbikes. Huh? I have never heard it. I'm not that much knowledgeable when it comes to economics and value of property, but I think this one was the most dramatic exchange that in the history of Namibia. This one will stand out. But you were all silent. You did not even report it to your headquarters as opposition councillors. You were silent. So when the minister came to sweep, you were part of the garbage. When the broom comes, it sweeps everything. So if you have anything that is important on the ground, you better pick it up before the broom comes. Because if the broom comes, it will sweep away everything that's on the ground. So, and that is what happened. So now everybody is in the dustbin, in a political dustbin, whether you are innocent or the worst of all sinners. You are all in the same hell because you did not speak out. And then the mayor comes and saying, apparently, what the minister did was tribally motivated. It was tribalism, embarrassing himself to the highest. You know, the statement of the mayor was the most embarrassing statement that I have ever heard in my life since I was born. To claim that the minister did it because of tribal, he was tribally motivated, that was the most embarrassing statement I have ever heard in my entire life. It was, because this is not a political statement. just like an empty statement. This statement is embarrassing. And in fact, embarrassing the mayor himself and his own tribe where he's coming from. So, after a short break, I'm coming to tell you why I think the statement was embarrassing. We'll be heading for a short break very soon. So, and I remember interviewing one counselor. He's a counselor, I can't remember from which party. From Katima. On our Sizuma program. Silozi Show. And he was saying, apparently, they were going to Mungu Town in Zambia. And he objected because the mayor was just going there for women, not because they were going there for consultative work. Apparently the mayor was going there for women. And the councillor make these allegations. He made this allegation on air. And he thought I was going to give him a freeway because he's a councillor from the opposition. So, I asked him, how do you know the mayor was going for women? Then he said, no, I know the mayor very well. I said, okay. It could be that you and the mayor are fighting for those women. And therefore, you don't want him to go because you are staying. Otherwise, it's a loss for you. So that was my analysis of the situation. In my view, those were the two embarrassing statements I have ever heard since I became a human being. Coming from officials. You know, statements, embarrassing statements coming from officials. From government officials. The third embarrassing statement I am going to talk about it when we come from a short musical break. We come and talk about it. The last embarrassing, three embarrassing statements this year. We'll come back.
I'd like to do a song that I wrote. It's a story about a girl It's about a girl who would rather go blind than to watch her lover leave her. I'd rather be a blind girl, Delia. When I saw you and that girl and y'all were talking. Something deep down, hey, deep down in my soul said, go on and cry, girl. When I saw you and that same girl and y'all were walking back, hey, and I'd rather be a blind girl, baby, whoa, yeah, yeah, babe. I would rather be a blind girl than to watch you walk away from me. Baby, don't leave me. I don't want to see you go. Cause you see, I love you so much that I don't want to watch you leave me, baby. Oh, no, no. Oh, and another thing. One more thing is I don't wanna be free. I'm scared to be by myself. I was sitting and thinking, babe. Oh, I was thinking about your sweet kiss. I see most of y'all know what I'm talking about. Whoa. When I looked down in the glass that I held to my lips and I saw the reflection of the tears rolling down my face. Hey, babe. When I knew I loved and I couldn't do without, and I'd rather be a blind girl, baby, babe. I don't believe some of y'all heard me. I'm gonna tell y'all again anyway. And I was sitting here thinking, babe. Oh, I was thinking about your sweet kiss. And when I looked down in the glass that I held to my lips and I saw the reflection of the tears rolling down my face, that's when I knew I loved you and I couldn't do without you. I'd rather be a blind girl, baby.
Blind girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Stay to be.
Okay, so I'm going to talk on top of this sound. You know, the last embarrassing statement that was made this year was from the minister, Natangwe, when he said at Korihas that he can only work with people from SWAPO. And if you give him anybody from who is not from SWAPO, you will be very hungry. You know why I'm saying this statement is embarrassing? Because it is defeating the goodwill that the president had when they sat down with Itula from the IPC, that is the main opposition party in Namibia, and they were talking about issues of national interest. And here comes a minister appointed by the same president making a statement like this one. So it's an embarrassment of the highest order. And I think, you know, when you are making a statement, you need to think about the future and impact it makes on you. So, not even the Secretary General of SWAPO could make that statement. So this one was a powerful political polemic. But it was an embarrassing statement because it defeated the good cause. In fact, it defeated the area, you know, the area cause between the president and Dr. Itula, which was very commendable because opposition and the ruling party sitting in one table talking in Africa without a mediating power, it's a miracle. And it happened in Namibia. So, it happened in Namibia. So now, if what is going on in South Africa, according to what the ordinary people feel, if ministers can abuse their power, how much more can it be with military juntas? But I asked you a question, how democratic is your democracy? And I said that there is a democratic autocracy and there is autocratic democracy. And in an autocratic democracy, you are told what the do's and the don'ts are. And you are told that if you do this, we are going to deal with you. If you do this, we will deal with you. If you do this, this is what is going to happen. But that is a democratic autocracy. But But in a democratic autocracy, it's a freedom of expression, freedom of movement, freedom of what, it's 100%, my friend, it's 100% free. Just do something, then you will see. They will do to you what they did not tell you. So which means in a democratic autocracy, they say what they don't mean. And then, they do what they don't say and say what they don't do. But in an autocratic democracy, they do what they say and say what they do. They don't say what they do, but they do what they say. So if they tell you that they are going to deal with you when you do this, you better know. You know already where to start. You know, when you're going to North Korea and you are a journalist, you know your limits. If you're going to China, if you're going to Russia, if you're going to Iran and you are a journalist, you know your boundaries. And you come into democratic autocracy as a journalist, then you become a loose person. And then you get into trouble. Because there is an illusion that you are able to say whatever you want. It's a freedom of express. I mean, freedom of the press. You know, most journalists are deceived by these words. And then they lose their mind. And they start to talk about anything, report anything, comment anything. Because apparently, it's a freedom of the press. There is no freedom without responsibility. So there is no freedom without responsibility. Freedom must come with a responsibility. In fact, if you have rights, and those rights don't come with a responsibility, those rights are useless rights. Because they will soon land you into problem. So most embarrassing statements made this year, the statement of the Katima mayor, the statement of the councillor, and the statement of the minister. Those to me were the most embarrassing statements of the year, of 2025. Because in fact we are towards the end of the year. So we'll see whether there will be other statements. But these three so far stand. I did not hear any other statement. If there is any other statement, please, you can tell me. But these three statements were the most embarrassing statements of the year. 2025, most embarrassing statements. Twenty twenty-five most embarrassing statements made by the officials of course. I don't know I'll find out with this councillor from which party he is, because I forgot the political party. Okay. We have also come to an end. In 5 minutes, we'll go to the end, because I started at 10 past, so I'm going to end at 9:10. So, three statements, embarrassing statements of the year. Those were the statements. The mayor saying what the minister did when he fired all of them was tribally motivated. And the councillor saying he presented he objected for the mayor to go on the trip to Zambia because the mayor was going there for women. And the minister saying that he can only work with Swapo people. And if you want to be hungry, bring a non-Swapo person here. That is now telling the people in Korihas, defeating the good environment created by the president and Dr. Itula when they met, talking about, you know, issues, discussing issues of national interest. So those were three most powerful and most embarrassing statement of the year. And if there was an award, of course the minister, since he's senior, he was going to come first. Then the mayor would have taken the second position and the councillor would have taken the last position. So which means maybe the mayor, the councillor would have a golden medal. And then, the mayor would have a silver medal. But I would say diamond here, for the minister, gold for the gold for the mayor, and the topaz for the councillor, because all of them have done exceptionally well. So, for those who understand Silozi, you know how I dealt with the matter of the mayor going to Zambia for women with the councillor, because I put the councillor on a frying pan and interrogated him to say, how do you know? And he said, no, I know the mayor very well. And I said, no, you are creating an impression that you and the mayor are fighting for women in Zambia. So, the mayor chucking you out, out of that trip, and you also standing up, you know, to object the mayor going there, is an indication that both you and the mayor know what you are fighting for. And you are keeping the whole crew in the dark. So, it means that both of you know what you are fighting for. You know the type of women that the mayor goes there for, and the mayor also knows that if you go there without him, he loses out. And you also know that if the mayor goes there without you, you also lose. So the only safest way is to make sure the mayor doesn't go. And the only safest way also is for the mayor to make sure that you don't go there. So, but that's politics. And if it is dramatic in civil government, how much more will it be can it be when it comes to military? There'll be more chaos. But that's what South Africans want. They feel that the politicians have failed them, and they feel that maybe it is good or it is high time to switch to military rule. Ladies and gentlemen, we are landing. We have landed, and we are going to meet again next week, Saturday. Stay tuned and continue to listen to other programs on your number one talk radio station.